My favorite half hour of the week is upon us. This is the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJS. Daryl Grandy here, and it is time to talk about essentials of estate planning with my good friend, my dear close personal friend, the lovely, the talented, the one, the only, Michelle Conti, Conti Law Firm, your legal concierge, mine as well, 724-784-0239, 724-784-0239, ContiLawPGH.com, that's C-O-N-T-I, LawPGH.com. And two physical locations, one which I was at before, and I'll be at very, very soon, possibly as early as next week, the OG location, 7880 Steubenville Pike in North Fayette, Pennsylvania, and the Waynesburg location, the brand-new location, about 1 year old at this point, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104 in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Michelle Conti. How are we doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Cannot wait to get back out there. Yeah, and it's warm in there, right? So cold outside, but warm in the friendly confines of Conti Law. And as I was able to speak from experience when I was there last month, it is the friendly confines, not your average law firm in terms of what you expect when you walk into Conti Law. Again, the North Fayette location, I can only assume the Waynesburg location is a similar vibe, but not at all what I expect from that. And that is by design 100%, is it not?
It is, and maybe it's your doing, but we've been getting more and more comments about the decor.
Oh,
and how and how welcoming
don't
and
blame
homey
me.
And I'll give you 100% of the credit,
which is also to say 100% of the blame. But it is,
yeah,
a different. It's different, and it is. It's not what you expect. It is not what you expect 100%, and which makes it refreshing, I gotta think, and definitely breaks the norm. When you think of a law firm, and you think of what you see when you walk into Conti Law and what you experience, these are two different experiences altogether.
It is. I grew up in the firms that are very masculine, dark wood, old school, which you would think of from 100 years ago. And I know some places are making a break from that. But
sure,
when I envisioned, especially with what we do, right? I mean,
right,
we're talking about death and whether someone has passed or their inevitable passing, planning for that, you want them to be comfortable. And so we went with the idea of what my initial thought and vision was, you know, people talk, they congregate around the kitchen table.
Sure.
I know you say that quite a bit. But that's what I wanted them to feel like. We're sitting down at their, even though they're not at their house, but they're comfortable. They're
right.
They're used to having these conversations with family or friends. And so that's the vibe we went with.
And that's a word. It's kind of funny because I was at the place last month, and I'll be back out there probably next week as per our plan. And I was looking for a word of, like, what is this place? Like, what's the best way to describe this place in one word? And thinking, and, you know, I could talk a million minutes about how, you know, my experience about that place, but comfortable. How I never thought about that word in the first place, because that's what it feels like. You feel like you are comfortable in that law firm. It does not feel stuffy. It does not feel staged. It does not feel stodgy. It feels comfortable. It feels like a place you want to go to address these matters. And as you said, The matters are family matters. The matters are human matters. I mean, the family is the most human element of our being, and it is a very human place. It's not a corporate place. It's not a particularly, wooden or informal place. It is a formal place, excuse me. It is a very informal place. It is a very comfortable place. And even last month when I came out there, and will probably be the same place next month or next week, but the room that we were in was a comfort room, right? It wasn't designated as a comfort room specifically for families who are dealing with the actual loss of a loved one in that room, and not the pre-loss, but the actual loss because of some of the accoutrements in that room.
Yeah, so, you know, we have the various rooms we sit in, and the one room, well, I'm fortunate enough because my mom's cousin, so very close family.
Sure.
She's an artist, and so when I speak with Renee, her name is Renee Keel.
Shout out to Renee Keel.
Anybody cares, but she, you know, I said to her, this is what we're talking about in this room, and she suffered loss, so she understands, and
sure.
I need artwork that will put people at ease.
Sure.
And so we have designated rooms. However, depending, you know, if the other room's full, we'll go into the other, to the others. But that was intentional, where I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to feel that they are surrounded by their loved ones, sure, whether they passed or they're on their way out, you know, if they're ill. So yeah, we did that intentionally, and you know, people really do pick up on that and comment. Like I said, where I was before was right, great, but you're surrounded by all of these law books that I can tell most often are not used.
I couldn't find the law books when I was in there, so I didn't know.
They're in my office.
They're in your office.
They're typically for show,
right,
because we have transitioned from the book to, you know, everything's online nowadays.
Right.
So everything's electronic. But, you know, I do still have the occasional book, the code we have to pull out if there's an issue.
Of course.
But that's not what you're going to be seeing when you come here. You're not seeing,
no,
you're not surrounded by the 400 tax codes or law codes that, right, you know, are just collecting dust.
It feels like you're walking into someone's house. It feels like that vibe of you're walking into someone's house, and it feels like, again, inviting, comfortable. It is, you know, it's a welcoming atmosphere, to say the least. And I look forward to coming back here again. And you know, it's not come one, come all to the Conti Law Firm to check this place out. But in terms of you know, you best have a reason to do it. But in terms of the actual thing that sets you apart, I gotta think the atmosphere, which again is a reflection of yourself and your team, is very much a big part of it.
We try, so I'm glad that it's been noticed. Yeah, of course.
So all good there. Again, this is Essentials of Estate Planning here on the Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJS, ContiLawPGH.com. That's the website, 724-784-0239. Also available on the socials as well. And you want to talk about something that you get calls about. Again, those calls to 724-784-0239. And you get messages and all sorts of communique about. And it's a word that we see in the news a lot. And we see in the news a couple different ways. And we see in the news, I'm going to think in the times I've seen the most of the news, as warped as it may be, and may also be a reflection of how I see things, celebrities, right? And celebrities in some that sort of realm is where we see a lot of that stuff in the news first, which might sort of indicate where other people might see it as well. Therefore, they might come to you kicking these words around and with maybe some skewed versions of what the actual meaning of the words are. Is this true?
It is. And so the most recent is, if anybody follows pop culture, which I do.
Yes, so do I.
Is Wendy Williams, who...
Yes, okay, that's what I never thought of, but yes.
I remember when I worked at the big firm, in my last firm,
yeah,
one of the partners was laughing at me. She couldn't believe that I DVR'd Wendy Williams.
It was a fun show.
It was a fun show, and it's a one-hour...
How you doing?
How you doing? Where she said it like she meant it, which I agreed with most of what she said.
Right.
And what she said, which is funny if you fast forward, has come true, come to light,
mm-hmm,
with respect to some of the drama and legal matters going on in Hollywood currently.
Oh,
but
yeah,
when she stepped away in 2022... First of all, as a fan, I was devastated.
Of course.
Whoever replaced her did not do a great job, and they're not on the air anymore. However,
I couldn't tell you who it was.
It was Monique. But
okay.
She stepped back due to, she had Graves' disease, which,
yes,
I didn't know what that was, so educational as well.
Yes.
But then she went through that terrible divorce where she found out her husband had a double life, and maybe she knew, but, you know, all of those things came to light. But
sure,
one was she was making erratic choices.
Yes.
She was spending money. She was gifting her son money, which, again, we're allowed to do. I spoil my kids, although I try to say I don't. But,
no,
you know, we do things as parents and make decisions that are, quite frankly, no one else's business. But what was alarming was the fact that Wells Fargo, who was her bank... And again, this is all just what's been in the legal documents,
sure,
and documentaries. They took a step and said she was spending her funds that she had invested with them, and she'd worked with that company. She had the same financial advisor for 15 years, that she was making poor choices. And so that led to, in New York, a conservatorship. We call that guardianship in Pennsylvania. It's the yes. same thing. Or if you're familiar with the what happened with Britney Spears.
I was about to say, that was my go-to. And I think there are a couple other examples, too, in that realm that deal with the idea of, quote-unquote, child stars. And
correct. People. You have Amanda Bynes. You have there are several of the child stars. And I have different opinions for those. I don't believe Britney's conservatorship should have stopped.
Right, right.
Amanda Bynes, not quite. I'm not quite as knowledgeable there. But the thing that sets Wendy Williams apart is she wasn't mentally unstable.
Right.
She admittedly was an alcoholic, was drinking too much,
sure,
and was spending her funds erratically in ways that in the past she hadn't done.
In ways that somebody who was under the influence of drugs, and not you know, go get your fix every day, you know, in the corner every other Tuesday, but in ways that alcoholics and drug addicts do tend to spend money differently and eccentrically.
Correct. And so the bank stepped in and got the courts involved, and from there had her deemed incapacitated, which what guardianship means is that somebody is unable to understand cognitively the ramifications, repercussions of their actions. They don't understand a legal document.
Sure.
They can't sign because they don't have capacity. In those other examples, and again, I have no firsthand knowledge, but from what we see, did Britney Spears understand? No, absolutely not. Her various posts that she puts out there, it's clear something's going on.
Right,
There's something. But with Wendy Williams, at least from what I was able to look at with the court documents, there wasn't cognitive decline. Yes, she suffered from Graves' disease. Yes, she was highly medicated. She was an alcoholic. I don't know if she spiraled back into drugs or not. But that's not good enough, at least here in Pennsylvania, to have someone's legal authority, their legal capacity removed, and have, whether it's a family member, a friend, an attorney, or in Wendy Williams' case, a personal, you know, that she's a conservator. That's her job. She's paid to be a manager of someone's funds, medical decisions, who can't make those choices for themselves.
Sure.
She stands apart because this is one of the first times I've ever seen it. And I was watching a documentary that Harvey Levin had done. He's the creator of TMZ.
Also
an attorney.
Yes.
Fantastic legal mind. And he was flabbergasted, to say the least, completely shocked that an institution would have the ability and authority to step in and say, she's mismanaging her money, she's making poor choices, let's have somebody else in charge.
Right, right.
And so what led me to this topic was we do have potential clients. We have people who'll call in and say, you know, mom's spending money, dad's giving money to away to a third party he's never met.
Right.
If they have capacity and they understand what they're doing and the ramifications of their actions, there's nothing a court can do. They're not going to take away somebody's legal right for being bad with money.
Yeah, no, that's on the person. It really is. And that's, again, that's what makes the Wendy Williams stuff so shocking, because it is an adult. I mean, the Britney Spears, Amanda Bynes, you know, child star umbrella for that sort of thing, you kind of sort of get, because here are people who are these multi-millionaires before they're the age of, what, 16, 17 in some cases, where, they may not mental capacity, but maturity, and just, you come in this windfall when you're still, you know, a kid and barely hitting your human stride, let alone anything else. For an adult, let alone one that people know in Wendy Williams, it did come across as a very shocking thing. And I saw that exact same documentary from Levin. And it's a fascinating watch, if nothing else.
It is. And she's interviewed during that. She was recently interviewed. She's in a facility that, you know, she came from this mansion in New York or wherever she was living, that and now is in a one-room nursing home. And it's not a nursing home, but
right.
just to put the image in your mind, where the court actually had the ability to completely transfer her lifestyle from what she was living. And it's a shame because, you know, granted, I'll never have Wendy Williams money, but she had millions of dollars. And if she wanted to blow through it
right.
and she wanted to buy various cars or real estate or share her money, share her wealth and gift it, she has the legal ability. And I say often, and people don't like to hear this, just because somebody making bad financial decisions,
right.
in your mind, you can't take away their power.
Right.
You know, it's different. When we have people who have some sort of intellectual disability
sure.
or dementia, and just because, and I want to make this clear, just because somebody's been diagnosed with early or onset dementia doesn't mean that they lack legal capacity. There
right.
are so many different forms of dementia and so many steps, if you will, where I feel there are days, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but, you know, I might have early onset dementia. I walk into a room,
sure.
we all have done this, and say, well, what the heck did I come in here for?
Right, and that's, and yeah, it is something that, yeah, we do tend to throw around maybe a joke or two or a ha-ha about it, but the actual clinical diagnosis of dementia is
right.
no joke itself, but also one that, you know, same thing with, you know, football players and CTE. You know,
right.
it's one of those things where, you know, down the line, yes, there could be some ramifications, but early stage, yeah, you forget why you walked into a room, period.
Absolutely. And to talk about CTE, I mean, we have clients who have been diagnosed with CTE, and the way that the code reads and the way the statute is and the way the court works is just because somebody has a bad day
right.
and maybe is out of it. Think of somebody's in a medically induced coma. Well, of course, they're incapacitated, but when they wake up and they're functioning members of society,
sure.
that incapacity is gone. So it can fluctuate. And
right.
again, it depends on the gravity and it depends on the testimony of the doctor. But just because somebody has a diagnosis or just because somebody is blowing their money, what we wouldn't do with our own money,
right.
doesn't mean
right.
a court's going to say, well, you now lost all legal capacity. We're going to take all of your legal rights away, essentially.
Yeah, and it does. It does. It requires many, 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 many steps to get from a person making bad decisions with their money to a point where you would need to be involved, right? In terms of what you do, but you're
right.
you're talking about your point of view from the sidelines. You haven't really have there been cases where in cases instances and cases cases where you have come in. To that situation where there may be a dispute as to the capacity of a person involved, where it's presented to you and you may not necessarily be on the same page with your family, or you have to want to clarify, hey, just because you think this person's making bad decisions doesn't mean they're making bad decisions until this medical expert or doctor says so.
Not personally where I had to litigate that matter. We've had people come in and give us a fact pattern saying, you know, dad made a friend online and is making bad decisions and spending down his IRA.
Right.
Can we stop that? Without medical expert reports behind us, you can't do anything. I have been involved where I represented the court-appointed guardian,
right.
Which was a, you know, a company, a fiduciary. And the judge had made the decision that the gentleman did not have capacity, and it was appealed to the Superior Court, which was then reversed, and the judge that we were in front of, the Superior Court, said he was wrong. He got it wrong.
Wow.
And just because the guy was old and was gifting money to certain children over other children didn't mean he didn't have the understanding of his actions.
Wow.
There are instances, but,
sure.
you know, more so it's my 18-year-old child with special needs, who has intellectual disability, isn't able to understand. And,
sure.
and I tell folks this, that if you have a son or a daughter, whether they have Down syndrome or a form of autism, or it doesn't matter, whatever they have,
right,
that they were diagnosed with.
They have what they have.
When they turn 18, and I think this is hard for most parents to swallow, is when your child turns 18, they're an adult. They can do whatever they want, and you have no legal say. You have no legal authority to call the bank or the investment company or even a doctor or a hospital and make decisions on their behalf.
Sure.
Without a power of attorney. Now, for those individuals who are unable to sign a power of attorney because they don't understand the complexity or the legality of it, that's where guardianship is needed. And so most of our guardianship clients are parents who are concerned that their son or daughter who has intellectual disability is going to be taken advantage of, which I certainly understand and get behind.
Sure.
But like a judge that I heard years and years ago make this comment was, in the eyes of the law, when your child, regardless of disability, regardless of intellectual delay, when they turn 18, they're their own person. They can make any decision they want.
Yeah.
And without a court intervening and saying, Joey lacks the ability to understand, and we have the documentation from the doctors.
Right.
Without that documentation, the parent can't do anything.
Right.
And I think that's very hard for folks to grasp and say, I've been his caregiver for 18 years. We all know maybe he's nonverbal and he has the mentality of a three-year-old. Doesn't the court understand that? People get very frustrated that they have to go to court. And it's because when we go to court and we have a guardian appointed, we're taking away the legal authority of that individual. They no right. longer have the ability to do things on their own.
Huh. It's a lot. It really is a lot.
It is a lot. So
each
instance is every situation is different. There
sure.
is no, just like when you draft wills or trusts,
right.
not every person has the same experience. And so it's not, all fits one. It's
right.
not everybody falls into the same category. And so that's why the court takes it so seriously.
I got to think it's one of the more, and that's the reason we're talking about this, one of the more misconstrued amongst the populace elements of what you do is the idea of guardianship and conservatorship and what needs to happen to facilitate that officially, as opposed to what I think might be the case as opposed to legality. And it does speak to, maybe it kind of doesn't, your idea that you bring up a lot, that the law is not based on common sense in some cases. In this case, the law is the law, and it's maybe not as much common sense, but like it or not, right? Law is the law in some cases. You may not agree with this part, but it is what it is, as you said.
Absolutely. And, I hate to break it to people. There are some times I do. And there are sometimes I can sit in with the family and the person that they're alleging is incapacitated.
Right.
And you know right off the bat.
Yeah.
You can tell whether it's the diagnosis or the mentality or the ability or inability to
sure.
speak for themselves. But then there are some where it's questionable. I mean, there's others where it's outright, no, this isn't going to fly.
No ambiguity.
And I'm not going to waste your time or your money and go to court because I know you're going to lose.
Right.
So there are some that are just a no-starter. But every situation is different. And just because, and it's usually, and I don't want to, throw it all under this umbrella, but it's usually an adult parent, an elder parent, who maybe they lost their original spouse or they're divorced
right.
and they're older and they remarried. Maybe they remarried a younger person.
Uh-huh.
And the kids aren't satisfied with that, or with the fact that that younger step-parent is now going to inherit or spend a significant amount of money, their inheritance, if you will.
Right.
We had that where they wanted to go to court and have the father deemed incapacitated because, A, he married somebody 30 years younger, he was worth a lot of money, and he was spending it with her, and he was leaving it to her, and they were not happy. That doesn't meet the level of incapacity because he's making these choices.
Indeed. A lot of stuff to wrap your head around here. And a very interesting topic, and one that is in the news a lot, as we've talked about, and one that does get kind of misconstrued, because I guess for better or worse it's in the news. Right? It's one thing for it to be in the news, and the awareness is raised based on the populace seeing the news and following pop culture, as it were, but it also tends to have more ground for people to misconstrue what, in fact, they see. And no need to misconstrue anything when it comes to Conti Law, because it is clear as day. This is the place you want to go for any of these questions. 724-784-0239, 724-784-0239, ContiLawPGH.com, ContiLawPGH.com is the website, also available on the socials as well. Two locations. One I'm going to be at next week, Conti Law, the original location, 7880 Steubenville Pike in North Fayette, Pennsylvania. And the Waynesburg location, the new location, 3157 Mount Morris Road, Suite 104 in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania. Any final words for the audience before we depart on this fine Saturday?
No, just enjoy one another and have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. The other talk show, be kind to each other, right?
That's right.
That's what Springer said.
Life's too short.
Indeed. 724-784-0239. ContiLawPGH.com. We'll see you right back here in 7 days.